I want to ask you to open your Bible to the Gospel of Luke, and would you find Luke chapter 2 and find verse 41. Luke chapter 2, I want you to find verse 41. I want to read a passage of Scripture to you that I think sometimes is an interesting story, but sometimes we don't really understand the message that is there. And I want to try today to share with you a message from Luke chapter 2, verse 41, that God laid on my heart a long time ago. And during these summer months, I'm preaching to you some of the my favorite sermons over the last years. And some of these are sermons that I preached a long time ago. By the time we get to the end of the summer, some of these are not that old, but yet they're some of my favorites. Luke chapter 2, verse 41, would you join me in standing as I read from God's word today? Luke chapter 2, verse 41. Now his parents, that's speaking of the parents of Jesus. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wished ye not, or did you not know, that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them, came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with man. I want to talk to you this morning on the subject of the lost Jesus. Would you pray with me, please? Father, today, thank you for this time to worship you. And God, thank you for the music that we've been able to hear and that which we have participated in. Thank you that today we've been able to lift our voices in praise to you. We thank you, Lord, now that we have the opportunity to open up this blessed book, to read your word and allow you to speak to our hearts. And Father, I pray that today that your word will take root in the heart of everyone who will hear. Lord, there are some in this room today who know you and have known you for a long, long time. But perhaps they're not as excited about you as they once were, or maybe they've drifted from you. And I pray that today that you will draw them back to yourself. Father, there are some in this room today who have never placed their faith in you. They're good people, but they don't know you. And Lord, because of that, they do not know what it is to have eternal life. So I pray that your Holy Spirit will speak to their heart. I pray that you'll draw them to yourself, and that today might be their day to place their faith in Jesus Christ. So Lord, speak to us through your word today, and help us to hear and help us to obey. For I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The lost Jesus. I want to take just a moment to remind you of where I am in the text. Luke chapter 2. Sometimes about the only time we read from Luke chapter 2 is during December. Christmas time, and we read scriptures like the one I've read today. But when you come to verse 41, just to remind you, it was not that long ago that an angel had spoken to a virgin girl by the name of Mary and to a good man by the name of Joseph and told them that Mary was going to give birth to a boy, and his name will be called Jesus, and he will be the Savior of the world. It was not that long ago that shepherds had been out on the hillside and heard the angelic choir announcing that the Christ had been born, and they ran across the hillside and came to the place where the child was there in Bethlehem. It wasn't that long ago that three wise men came from the east to the house where the young boy was and gave him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. It wasn't all that long ago. As a matter of fact, now whenever you read my text, Jesus is 12 years old. He's gone from that little baby in the manger, from that little boy in the house, and now he's 12 years old, and as we would say in our world today, my, they grow up so fast, don't they? He's 12 years old. And this one whom the angel said would be the Savior of the world, this one who the shepherds had came and worshiped him, this one of whom the wise men had come and gave him gifts that were fit for a king, was lost. I wonder you to allow that to lay on your heart for just a moment today. They had lost Jesus. They had lost the Messiah. Joseph and Mary did not know where Jesus was. I'm looking across the room today. I see a lot of parents that are in the room today, and I think you would agree with me that one of the most frightening things that will ever happen to a parent is to lose your child. I mean, even if it's just that long. You know, we are so protective of our children, and we live in fear, especially in the day that we live in, that something might happen to them. It is heart-wrenching to think that you would lose your child. Every time I think about that, my mind goes back to years ago whenever our son Jeremy was just a very small little boy. We went to Oklahoma City to meet my parents. We had gone to a rendezvous place that was called the Crossroads Mall. And Judy and I and Jeremy were there in the Crossroads Mall. And while we were waiting, we were doing some shopping. And I don't remember what store we were at, but we were in one of those anchor stores. You know what I'm talking about? Probably a Sears or JCPenney or one of those big stores at the end. We were in one of those stores. We were in the clothing department. And while we were standing there, we looked around and Jeremy was gone. Now, you must understand that we lived in fear of even going to the mall, because we'd heard stories about children being kidnapped. And so there in that moment, I mean, our hearts began to race. It was one of those things that you start telling people to help you and you want to send somebody to every door and block all the exits and all that sort of thing. We were looking for him. He was lost and he was just a small boy. Well, the story ended up all right because Jeremy had gone to where, you know those clothing racks that have, they're round like this and they hang clothes all the way around the rack? He had crawled inside and he was hiding from us inside that clothing rack. We finally found him and his mother said to him, "Son, why hast thou dealt with us so? Thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing." Or something like that, I'm not exactly sure. But I'm gonna tell you, for just a moment, right? Your heart races. Now think about that. Joseph and Mary had gone to the temple. They were on their way home. They had traveled a day and they'd lost Jesus. That must have been gut-wrenching, right? The Son of God, the Savior of the world, had been entrusted to you. And you don't know where he is. Wow. I want to use that today, that very thought, to talk to you today, those of you who are believers in Christ. I want to ask you a question. Have you lost Jesus? Now, please understand what I'm asking today. I'm not asking you, have you lost your relationship with Jesus Christ? Because I believe that the Bible teaches that once you have a relationship with Jesus, once you have, by faith, trusted him as your Savior and Lord, I believe, this is the way I like to say it, once saved, really saved, always saved. I don't believe you can lose your salvation is what I'm saying to you. I believe the Bible affirms that over and over again. As a matter of fact, if you can have it today and lose it tomorrow, then it's not everlasting life. Everlasting life is, even as the word itself says, it's everlasting. So I'm not talking about losing your relationship with Jesus. What I'm talking about is, have you lost your fellowship with Jesus? You can lose your fellowship and not lose your relationship. The best way I know to explain that to you is, if you have children or if you are a child, a child can do a lot of things that will be bad and might cause him or her to lose the fellowship with mom and dad, but you cannot lose that relationship, because once you're their child, you are always their child regardless of how you live and what you do. I learned that at a very early age in life. I will always be the son of Gordon and Vanita Russell. Always will. I have a relationship there that will never, ever change. But my fellowship can sometimes be strained. I'm thinking of whenever I was a small boy and my older brother and I, we were out in the backyard and we wanted to play baseball. Just the two of us. So all we had was a baseball bat, a baseball, and two of us. And so what we decided to do, we'd take a little batting practice. And so in order that we might have batting practice, we didn't have anybody to catch the ball. So I backed up to the back of the house, standing at the back of the house. That way, whenever my brother would throw the ball, it would hit the house and we wouldn't have to go chase the ball. So we were having batting practice. My brother was pitching and I was batting, and my brother threw the ball, and I swung the bat. I foul-tipped the ball right through the kitchen window in our house. Now, the relationship between me and my mom and dad was intact, but the fellowship wasn't so good after that. I've told you this story. I remember this whenever I was just a boy. It was probably about this time of year. We were sitting down for the evening meal. We called it supper back then. Still do. Anyway, we were sitting down for the evening meal, and we were about ready to eat, and we had a garden in the backyard, and my dad told me, and he said, "Keith," he said, "go out and pick us some onions for supper." And I went out to the garden, and I pulled up every onion that was in the garden. Now, my relationship was still intact, but the fellowship was broken, and that's not all that was broken on that particular day. So when I say to you, have you lost Jesus, I'm not talking about your relationship, all right? If you've ever asked Jesus to come into your heart, be your Savior, and be your Lord, if you've ever genuinely been saved, then you cannot lose that relationship. Once you are born into the family of God, you cannot be unborn out of the family of God. So I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about your fellowship. I'm talking about your daily walk. And the fellowship with Jesus Christ is what determines the peace that you have in your heart, and your fellowship with Jesus Christ is what determines the joy that you have as a child of God. So here's a message today that I've been preaching for a long, long time. As a matter of fact, when I was a young pastor, somebody evidently subscribed for me a magazine that was called Christ for the World magazine. I don't know if any of you ever subscribed to Christ for the World magazine. It was a magazine that was published by an evangelist, a Southern Baptist evangelist by the name of E.J. Daniels. Anybody in the room ever hear the name E.J. Daniels or hear the evangelist E.J.? I'm looking around. I don't see a hand. Oh, there's a few over there. And we ought to know him. You ought to know him. By the way, he was a Floridian. Southern Baptist, Florida evangelist. God used E.J. Daniels to reach many people for the cause of Christ. And one day, while I was reading that Christ for the World magazine, I ran across a devotion by E.J. Daniels, and I took that devotion, I developed it into this sermon, and I've been preaching it for a long, long time. I haven't preached it in a while. As a matter of fact, according to my records, which they got to be right? No. But according to my records, the last time I preached this was 17 years ago. So I want to ask and I want to answer a few questions from this text today. And I want to ask every believer in Christ to pay very close attention to what I'm asking. And today, if you'd say, well, Pastor, that's not me. I'm not a believer in Christ. Please pay attention anyway, because at the very end, I have something for you as well. So I want to ask four questions, and I want to answer them right out of the text. The first question is this. As we look at the scripture in Luke chapter 2, verses 41 through 52, the first question is, who may lose Jesus? I want you to look at verse 41, and I want to answer these questions right from the Word of God. Who may lose Jesus? Well, according to the text, the Bible says it was Mary and Joseph who lost Jesus. Now, think about that for just a moment. Mary was that virgin girl, the one that God had handpicked to be the mother of His Son. Luke chapter 1, verse 28 says this, the angel showed up and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women." And so whenever you look at who lost Jesus, first of all, we're told that it was Mary. Not only that, but the scripture also indicates that it was Joseph. Now, Joseph was a carpenter. We don't know a lot about Joseph. He doesn't last long in the Bible, if you will. I mean, he appears on the stage, evidently died at a young age, many believe. But in Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, the Bible says, "Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." Whenever he heard that the girl that he was getting ready to marry was expecting a child, he was a just man and he wanted to do the right thing. And so whenever you look at the passage of scripture, those who had lost the Christ child, or at this time the 12-year-old boy named Jesus, it was Mary and Joseph. And I think you would agree with me, as far as those who had an earthly relationship with him, there was nobody on the planet who had a closer relationship with the young Christ boy than Joseph and Mary. So when I ask the question today, who may lose Jesus, we look at the scripture and it says Joseph and Mary. And what I want to say to you today, who may lose Jesus? The answer is those who appear to be the closest to him. Those who appear to be the closest to him. There are some Old Testament examples that I could give you of some of the great men and women of God who were close to the Lord and yet they lost fellowship with him. I'm thinking about a man I've been preaching about on Wednesday nights as I've been preaching from Genesis chapter, the first 11 chapters. There was a man there by the name of Noah. As a matter of fact, the Bible says whenever God looked down upon the planet and he saw that man was so wicked that he was going to destroy man that he made, the Bible says he found one righteous man, and that man's name was Noah. Yet we also know when all the floodwaters had receded that even Noah got drunk. The Bible talks about a man of the name of David. You know, David, the singer of Israel, the shepherd boy that we read about, the one who wrote many of the Psalms that we have in the Old Testament, the only person in the Bible who's ever described with that lofty phrase of being a man after God's own heart. And yet the Bible talks about this boy named, young man named David, how he committed adultery, and the Bible also says that he committed murder. I'm saying to you today that sometimes those who appear to be the closest to him can lose fellowship with him. I'm thinking about another Old Testament character, a man by the name of Samson. He was a strong man, you remember him, a mighty man of valor. The Bible talks about him, and the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. But if you know the rest of his story, one day he got his hair cut in the devil's barber shop, and he lost all of his strength. And so whenever you look at the Old Testament, you'll find that there are others, by the way, but those that appear to be the closest to the Lord, and yet they lost fellowship with him. There are some New Testament characters as well. I think about a man by the name of Peter. Peter, who appears to be at least the leader of all the disciples, I've talked about him many times, and yet the Bible says there was a time whenever Jesus needed him most that three times he denied even knowing the Lord. The Bible says there's another, not only Peter, but there was a group of them called Peter, James, and John, who were part of what is known as the inner circle, evidently the closest disciples to the Lord Jesus Christ. But when he went to the garden called Gethsemane and prayed, the Bible says that they kept going to sleep whenever Jesus needed them most. We could also add a man by the name of Judas Iscariot. He was the trusted treasurer. You don't elect somebody to be the treasurer if you don't trust them. And yet the Bible says he betrayed the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. I think we could add others to the list, but what I'm saying to you today, that whenever you read the Word of God, oftentimes those who appeared to be the closest to him are those who lost fellowship with the Lord. And by the way, whenever I think about that, I think it's a warning. Listen to me. It's a warning to every believer, but it is a particular warning even to those who are in places of leadership in the church. It's a warning to preachers, because I tell you this, preachers can lose fellowship with Jesus Christ. You can get so busy in the church that you don't spend enough time with the Christ of the church. Jess Moody, a long-time preacher, was talking one time. I was listening to him speak at a convention. As a matter of fact, I think it was the last time the Southern Baptist Convention was in California. We were out in Los Angeles, and I remember Jess Moody was talking about whenever he was a young preacher and how he loved the Lord and spent time with the Lord. And as he had grown older and older, he said he had gotten more busy in the church, and this is the way he said it. He said, "I miss the sound of sandaled feet." You hear what he's saying? I miss the fellowship with Jesus. Deacons can lose fellowship with Jesus Christ. You can be a man of God set aside by the church to be a servant of the church, and if you're not careful, you can lose fellowship with God. As a matter of fact, somebody said a long time ago, said, if you want to ruin a man, ordain him as a deacon. Happens sometimes. Because that faithfulness that the church saw in you as a deacon to ordain you and set you aside, sometimes those same qualities have faded a little bit as you get a little bit older. Connection group teachers can lose their fellowship with Jesus Christ, studying the Word of God all week long, getting ready to stand before a class and teach the Word of God. You can lose your fellowship with God. It doesn't matter what you do in the church. What happens is sometimes we become more caught up in the church of Christ, then we get caught up in the Christ of the church. We can get more caught up in churchianity, if you will, than we do Christianity. And whenever we do those sort of things, then we lose fellowship with Jesus Christ. And by the way, it doesn't matter whether you're here or whether you're out there. You can be a believer in Christ sitting right here. I'll talk about that in a moment. And you can lose your fellowship with Jesus Christ. So who can lose fellowship with Jesus? The Bible says those who appear to be the closest to him. Secondly, let me ask this question. Where may we lose Jesus? You still have your Bible? I want to suggest three things from verses 41, 42, and 46. I want you to notice this. The Bible says that Joseph and Mary lost Jesus at the temple in Jerusalem during the celebration of the Passover. Let me say that again. Where did they lose him? At the temple, in Jerusalem, celebrating the Passover. Think about those three things for just a moment. Where were they? At Jerusalem. Now watch Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the city of God. I say even to this very day, I think Jerusalem is the center of the world. I've been to Israel four different times, and I always enjoy every place I go, but I will tell you this today, there's always something special about going to Jerusalem. It's the city of God. And the Bible says whenever they got there, they went to the temple. The temple is the house of God. So follow with me for just a moment. They're in the city of God. They've gone to the house of God. It was a dwelling place where man could go and meet and fellowship with God. And so the Bible says they're there. And thirdly, notice the Bible says they were there on the Passover. It is a national holiday. It is the highest day for them. It was the Jewish Independence Day. It was a high and holy experience. They had all traveled there. And the Bible says they went to Jerusalem, to the temple, on the Passover. And the Bible says that's where they lost Jesus. So when I ask the question today, where may we lose Jesus? Here's my answer to you. You can lose him right here in the house of God. Coming to church every Sunday and lose fellowship with Jesus. Over in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 2, verse 12, we're introduced to a man or told about a man by the name of Eli. Chapter 2, verse 12 of 1 Samuel says, "Now the sons of Eli were the sons of Belial, they knew not the Lord." Now, if you know the context of the story, Eli, he was a judge and he was a priest, and his sons were raised up in the church. There are some of you today who would say, well, that's kind of been my story. You know, I've been raised up in the church. I've been in church all my life. Many people would say, I don't remember ever not going to church. And the Bible says that the sons of Eli were the sons of Belial, and they knew not the Lord. Sons of Belial simply means they were wicked. They knew not the Lord means they had no relationship, no personal relationship with him. And so what the Bible is saying there about those boys is they knew about God, but they didn't know God. And then verse 13, the very next verse says, his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. The word vile means that they were cursed. They cursed God. And the Bible says he did not restrain them. And so what you have there is a picture of a family, if you will, in the house of God, and yet there they had no relationship with God. And so the scripture says to us, it's possible to even surround yourself with all the things of God and all the people of God and be there on a regular basis, and yet you can still not have that fellowship with Jesus that you ought to have. Now here's a warning. This isn't just to the leadership in the church. This is to every believer in Jesus Christ. You can come to church every Sunday morning and sit in a connection group class and lose your fellowship with Jesus Christ. You can be faithful to every worship service and sit here as you are right now and lose your fellowship with Jesus Christ. You can come on Wednesday nights and lose your fellowship with Jesus Christ. You can come and sing in the choir and play in the orchestra every Sunday morning and lose your fellowship with Jesus Christ. Listen to what I'm saying. You can come every Wednesday night. You can come to the Wednesday night worship service and lose your fellowship with Jesus Christ. You can be a part of the youth service and lose your fellowship with Jesus Christ. You can take your children to truth trackers and they can lose your fellowship with Jesus Christ. You can be a worker in Vacation Bible School and lose your fellowship with Jesus Christ. You can get more concerned about all the work and all the decorations than you are about Jesus Christ. You can be a sponsor for youth camp and lose your fellowship with Jesus Christ. You can go into every retreat that we have and lose your fellowship with Jesus Christ. You can be involved in all the things of the church, friend, and lose fellowship with Jesus Christ. I think what happens is sometimes, and I'll deal more with this in just a moment, but we get to the point sometimes we're just kind of going through the motions. I'm going to church on Sunday morning. Why? Well, that's what I do on Sunday morning. It's nothing about Jesus. Not that I want to go worship Jesus and spend time with Jesus. It's just what I do. There's a third question, and we'll get down to the nitty-gritty, okay? Here's a third question. How may we lose Jesus? How does that happen? If it's possible for pastors and deacons and teachers, if it's possible for faithful church members, if it's possible for us to lose our fellowship with Jesus Christ, how does that happen? Look again, we're still in the text in Luke chapter 2. I want you to look at verse 44, particularly in my text, for the Bible, I think, indicates to us that evidently they just became careless in their fellowship with him, because the Bible says they supposed him to be in the company. I underline that word in my Bible, supposed. They supposed him to be in the company. I've always pictured this as maybe like they're traveling in some kind of a convoy, all right? A family caravan group or whatever, and they're traveling to Jerusalem, and they've gone to Jerusalem. They've celebrated the Passover. Now the convoy is coming back home, and so they're all coming back home, and the Bible says as they were leaving Jerusalem, they supposed that he was in the company. Evidently, listen to me, evidently they had not communicated with him. They supposed that he was been in the company. And the Bible says they went a day's journey without him. I think that's significant as well. They went a day's journey without him. One day, 24 hours. That's not very long, is it? But it seemed like a long time to not be in contact with the Son of God. And so they've not talked to the Savior of the world. And so they had traveled just a short amount of time without any communication with the Lord Jesus. You probably know where I'm going now. Because whenever you read the scripture here, when you ask the question, who may lose fellowship with Jesus? How do you lose a fellowship with Jesus? Here's how you lose it. Just travel a day without him. Just go a day without him. Just go a day neglecting time in prayer, and you'll lose fellowship with Jesus. Just go a day without reading your Bible, and you're going a day's journey without the Lord Jesus Christ. Just go a week absenting yourself from the church of God. By the way, we live in a day when church faithfulness, my dear friend, is at an all-time low. The days of whenever people would talk about being faithful to the church, what that meant is totally different what it means today. And so all you got to do is just absent yourself from the house of God, and you become careless in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm saying to you what happens is we become careless. I don't think anybody who's a believer ever intends to lose their fellowship with Jesus. I don't think anybody ever wakes up one morning and says, you know what? I think I'll just kind of drift away from Jesus. I don't think that's the way it happens. I think it's much more subtle than that. I think it's more of that, you know, I'm not going to read my Bible as much as I used to read it. Don't have time anymore. I'm not going to pray like I used to pray. I'm not going to go to church as often as I used to. We just kind of drift away. You know, whenever I say that, I'm reminded the Bible compares believers in Christ to being sheep. You know, we're like sheep, and we're a part of the flock. And whenever you read your Bible, you'll find that sometimes it uses that analogy of a sheep that wanders away from the shepherd and away from the flock. And by the way, I mean, I'm not an expert on sheep, but sheep don't ordinarily run away from the shepherd. Of all the animals, I mean, sheep are dependent upon a shepherd. They have to be close to a shepherd to protect them and take care of them. But so sheep don't just decide to run away from the shepherd. What happens to sheep is, I've told you this before, but what sheep do is that they nibble themselves away from the shepherd. Here's how that works. Sheep like to eat green grass, and they put their head down and they begin to eat the green grass. And then while their head is down, they see some more green grass, and they go over here and they eat this green grass. And then while their head's still down, they see some more green grass, and they go eat that, and they just kind of nibble themselves away, filling themselves up. And then finally, when they get their belly full, they look up. Where'd everybody go? What had the sheep done? He just nibbled himself away from the shepherd. I think that's the way it happens, folks. You just put your head down and fill your belly up with the things of this world, the things of the flesh, and you just go from here to there to there, and all of a sudden you look up one day and you've lost your fellowship with Jesus. I think the way that happens in the church sometimes is, you know, somebody just decides, you know what, Wednesday night's not that important. We're just going to quit going on Wednesday night. And after a while, somebody said, you know what, singing in that choir, that's not important. We're not going to sing in the choir anymore. Then after a while, you know what, we come every Sunday. We don't have to come every Sunday, you know. And what you do is you just eventually nibble yourself away. I've seen it happen in the church many times. Matter of fact, I'm thinking even right now of a church that I used to pastor, that whenever I first went there, a man and his wife, they sat right down there on the front row. I noticed after a while they'd moved from the front row, they'd gone to the back row. And then after a while I noticed they were no longer on the back row, they'd moved up to the balcony. And then it wasn't long after that I noticed they weren't in the balcony, they weren't there at all. They had just gradually moved away. That's the way it happens. And so I mean, it's a warning to all of us that really, it's not hard. All you got to do is just travel a little ways without the Lord Jesus Christ, assuming that he's in the company with you, not communicating with him. And then before long, all of a sudden you look up and you're just not as close to Jesus as you used to be. And as Jess Moody said, you all of a sudden you say, I miss the sound of sandaled feet. I don't want to leave it there. Let me ask one last question. I'm out of time. Number four says, how may we find Jesus? Look again at the text. Look at verses 45 and 46 and I'll be done. In my text, the Bible says how they found him as they went back to where they left him. Isn't that interesting? And isn't that easy? They went back to where they left him. First of all, the Bible says they turned around. They made a U-turn. Now, I don't know if everybody in the convoy, everybody in the family turned around and went back, but we know Joseph and Mary did. And they turned and they went back to Jerusalem, the city of God, back to temple, the house of God, back to where they had left him. And the Bible says they found him 3 days later in the temple. 3 days later, one day traveling away, one day traveling back, and the third day evidently looking around Jerusalem trying to figure out where he was. And the Bible says they found him there talking with the teachers of the law. So how, if you've lost fellowship with Jesus, how do you find that fellowship once again? How is that restored? I suggest two things. Number one, you have to repent. You have to come to the place where you realize that, hey, I've lost that fellowship with Jesus. I'm not as close to him as I once was. So you have to decide, I'm going to repent. As a matter of fact, the Bible says you have two options whenever it comes to knowing about your sin. The Bible says you can either cover your sin or you confess your sin. The wisest man in all the world said in Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. John said, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So the first thing we have to do is we have to repent. And then the second thing we do is we have to return. Go back to where you left him. I was reminded even this morning, I wasn't going to say this, but whenever I was in my study a little while ago, I remembered that in Revelation chapter 2, that whenever Jesus was writing to the seven churches of Asia, he wrote to the church at Ephesus, and you may recall that was the church at Ephesus that Jesus said, you don't love me like you used to. And whenever Jesus said to them, you don't love me like you, he said, this is my counsel to you. He said, repent and do the first works. Repent, turn around, and do the first works. What was he saying? He was saying, get back to doing what you used to do. Read your Bible. Spend time in prayer. Talk to people about Christ. Serve the Lord in some capacity. But you go back to doing those things that you ought to do, because really the only way that you're ever going to get back to that closeness is to go back to where you left him. It's an old story, but it's a good story. The old couple was driving down the highway one day. The old man was driving. His wife was sitting over on the passenger side. After many years of marriage, she turned to him and she said, you know, we don't sit as close together as we used to. And the old man said, I ain't moved. Let me tell you something, folks. If you're not as close to Jesus as you used to, Jesus hasn't moved. You have. And the only way that you can ever get back that fellowship, that closeness, is to repent and repeat, do the things that you used to. I've spent all my message talking to believers today, saying to believers who have placed their faith in Christ that you cannot lose your relationship with Christ, you can't lose your fellowship, and if you've lost your fellowship, you can come back to Him. I have one other thing to say to you today, and just one more thing to those of you who may say, well, Pastor, I don't know that I've ever given my heart to Christ, and here's my message to you today is, you cannot lose what you've never had. And for some of you in the room today, it's not that you need a restored fellowship. It's that you need a relationship with Jesus. So here's my invitation this morning, and I'm done. Here's my invitation. Number one, there are some of you in this room, if the truth were known, probably many of you in this room, that your fellowship with Jesus Christ is not what it used to be. And it's not what it ought to be. Matter of fact, the old preacher would say it like this, if you're not as close to Jesus today as you used to be, you're backslidden. Some of you in this room today, you need to have a real serious talk with the Lord, and you need to repent and return. I mean, you've lost the joy, you've lost the peace, and the only way you're ever going to get it back is to come back to Him. My second invitation is this today. There's some of you today that you do not know Jesus at all. You do not have the assurance that you have eternal life. You don't have the assurance that if you were to die right now, that heaven is your home. And you today need to place your faith in Jesus Christ. Now, you may be a good person, a good mom, good dad, good child. You may be all those sorts, but you don't know Jesus. And it doesn't matter how good you are and everything else, my friend, if you don't know Jesus, you're lost. If you've never placed your faith in Jesus, you're lost. I don't care if you've been baptized in this church or every other church. If you don't know Jesus, you're lost. And the only way to be saved is to call upon Him in repentance of your sin and ask Him to forgive your sin and be your Savior and be your Lord. I invite you to do that today. In just a moment, we're going to stand and we're going to sing. Every pastor standing down here at the altar area, I'm going to ask you today to come. Take one of these men of God by the hand. Some of you need to come and say, I need to give my life to Christ. I want to know what it is to be saved and know that I'm going to heaven. Some of you need to come today, and maybe you don't need to talk to a pastor, but you do need to talk to the master, and you just need to come and pray and say, God, I've drifted away from You. I've lost the joy. I've lost the fellowship. I want it back. I'm here today, and I'm asking You, please restore the joy of my salvation. So it's God's time. And whatever God asks you to do today, I pray you'll do it. Would you pray with me, please? Father, today, thank You for Your presence in this room, and I thank You, Lord, for Your word, and I pray that right now that You will speak to the heart of every believer. Lord, I pray that we would not rationalize, but God, I pray that we would be honest. And Lord, if there are things that need to change in our lives to restore that fellowship with You that we once had, I pray that we'll be willing to do that today. Father, I pray for those in this room today who do not have assurance of eternal life. God, I pray that today would be their day to say, I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that as You speak to the heart of every person in this room, that You will communicate what Your will is. For some who need to be baptized, like we saw earlier in the service, I pray that they would say, I I need to come get baptized. God, for those who maybe who need to come and join with this church, become a part of us, I pray that they would do that today. So God, I just pray that in this invitation time that your will be done in the heart of every person who listens. Please have your way. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? Our pastors are in their places. God's spoken to your heart today. There's something God wants you to do. And while we sing, I invite you to come right now.